to read God's Word. And while you're standing, let me give you a couple quick prayer requests tonight. Sister Sandra Phillips, normally sitting right back here beside of where Melissa's at, is over at the funeral home at Miller, having lost her mother this week. And I ask you, if you will, please pray for Sandra and the rest of her family as they are prepared to have the burial tomorrow. So just ask you to please pray for Sister Sandra. And Marlene Church called a little while ago, and she had a prayer request for a friend of hers by the name of Teresa Wingler, who is battling some cancer, and said it's pretty serious. So let's remember that request. Steve Osborne, it's good to have you back. Steve, as you well know, last Wednesday night this time, he was recovering from a surgical procedure, and he's spent the night in the hospital. He's back with you. Good to have you back. And then others in here tonight that we don't call out every time, but y'all remember Sister Cletha, and remember Brother Woody and Miss May, Miss Ray, all those that we pray for at home that just can't be here, Miss Ruth and those in the nursing home. You know who they are, but let's not forget them. And before we get done tonight, we're going to have share a bit of news with you, and we'll share that in just a little while because it's concerning one of our young couples in the church. And but right now, does anybody, let's just read verse number 27 of the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. And tell me if anybody has a question mark on this. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Mine's got an exclamation point rather than, anybody's got a question mark? You see, this is not really a question. It's more of a definitive statement. So let's just read the three or four verses leading into that, starting in 23. The Bible said, "And when he was entered into the ship, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he said unto them, 'Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Brother Kippy, like I said, I could pull up a topical message and preach all night, but when I open the book of Matthew and this chapter, this eighth chapter jumps out at me, there's so much that can be said in chapter number 8 because there's so many areas of ministry that can be touched on out of this one simple chapter in the book of Matthew. And it doesn't matter if it's myself doing the preaching, one of these other preachers doing the preaching, the central theme of every message, I don't care if he's preaching out of the book of Genesis or if he's in the book of the Revelation, it really shouldn't matter because it's all about him. It's all about Jesus Christ. But the central theme of Matthew is being Jesus Christ, but there's just so many fingers in here. There's so many different miracles. There's so much just wonder and amazement that as I preach tonight, I want you to understand that you're in here and I'm in here. Brother Derek, it doesn't matter what your situation is. You're in Matthew chapter 8 in some situation or another, be it the passage of Scripture that I just read about a great storm. Anybody here ever had a great storm? Anybody ever been in the depths? I mean, it feels like you're about to head bob under for the last time, and it seemed like instead of BJ getting a life preserver or a float thrown to you, it feels like everybody's throwing you a brick and it's just pulling you down further. And I'm just here to tell us tonight that it's all about Jesus, Brother Troy. When you go to preach, it's all about Jesus. Everything's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what's going to be the central theme of the message tonight. And the question is namely this. I'm putting it forward as a question, is what manner of man is this? But I'm doing it with an exclamation point because we know what manner of man this is. So I'm going to start out in the book of Matthew. We're going to go back to chapter number 8, verse number 1. We're going to kind of just walk through this 8th chapter, and I won't be long on each point lest I be here until tomorrow morning. Brother Chris called me, and I love Brother Chris. He's just honest. He can't, I guess he can't, he could lie, but he called me Sunday, and I called him one way or the other. We generally try to touch base with each other, and I said, "How'd it go?" And he said, "It went great." He said, "I preached for over an hour," and I said, "Lord, that's not what you said. I preached for over an hour." How much? An hour and hour and 3 minutes. There you go. I said, I don't know if he was making a statement or he was, but what it was, he said, "We had a good time. I preached for over an hour." And I said, "Woo." And then he told me why it was great. It wasn't because he preached for over an hour that it was great, but souls were
in the balance, and they were lost, and they were raising their hand that they were lost. But and Troy had the same thing happen when he preached up a harmony. But yet they didn't come and get saved. But he said it was great. Why? You say, well, why would it be great that somebody would raise their hand in acknowledgement to being saved, but then yet not get saved? Brother Derek, it's great because it got them lost. You're not going to get anybody saved until you first get them lost. And Brother Chris, it was probably great that you stopped at an hour and 3 minutes. That's another reason it was great, because I know you, and you could have probably went for 2.5 hours or three or four. But anyway, to get them to the point to acknowledge their brokenness, to acknowledge their lost condition, to acknowledge that, hey, I believe what you told me, preacher, and then the Lord start working, that they can see the tears rolling off their head. That's what makes it great. You can't save them anyway. You just tell them the story and then let God do the work. You tell them the word and let God do the work. We're going to start out here, the first three verses of the chapter 8 of the book of Matthew. It said, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And when you refer to coming down from the mountain, he had just given what is known commonly to as the Olivet Discourse. He was on the Mount of Olives. And if you were to go back and read that whole chapter number, he started out in chapter number 5, and we go into the similitude of the Beatitudes and the similitudes. And then from chapter number 5, verse number 3, all the way to where we're at right now, there's no black riding. It's all Christ. It's all the Olivet Discourse. And he's teaching them about great just doctrines and great things. He's teaching them on wealth and the problems of wealth. He's teaching them about forgiveness. He's teaching them about the poor. He's teaching them about judging. He's teaching them about the golden rule. All the things are found in chapter number 5, 6, 7. And it's what we call, like I said, the Mount of Olives and the discourse therein. But then he's coming down off the mountain. And then look what it said. The multitudes are following him. And then he said, behold, there came a leper. You'll notice he was just a minute on the scene, come back from his ministry. And almost immediately, he meets a leper along the way. And that leper runs up to him. Bible says, worshiping and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I want you to see in verse number 3, it said, Jesus put forth his hand and said, I will be thou clean. It is the Lord's will that you be clean. And leprosy is a picture, or if you will, a type of sin. If you were reading about through the Bible, leprosy is just commonly referred to as a picture or a type of sin. And you know that leprosy in the old Bible and the Levitical law, Brother Steve, if you were declared as being a leper, what did they do to you? They put you in a leper colony. And then you had to be declared unclean. If you go to the marketplace, you had to declare yourself as being unclean. Brother Derek, how many of us would be running around if we acknowledged our sinful nature, and Brother BJ acknowledged what we've got in our heart, what goes through our minds? I'm telling you, like I told you before, you won't want me, Brother Tim Anderson, as your pastor, if you knew some of the crazy thoughts that come through my mind. And I'm telling you, I have to repent. I have to die daily. I have to ask God forgiveness every day. Why? Because I'm still yet carnal. I've still got a body to deal with. But I'm going to tell you what, how would it be, Brother BJ, if every time we went to a public place, we had to declare our spiritual condition right there. Brother Derek, we're going to be going, woohoo, holy me, I'm great, I'm righteous, I'm redeemed, I'm saved. Brother Chris, we'd be going just like the leopard would. We'd be going right to the counter at Wendy's and said, y'all might want to back away, I'm unclean. Why? Because we're sinners. But I want you to see immediately, after he comes down from the Olivet Discourse, he right into the scene, and bless God, he shows that he can still clean up the dirty people. Because what did he do? He said, I will, be thou clean. And my friend, he can clean the dirt off of you. He can clean. I don't care how grungy you are, and I don't care how sinful you are. It does not matter what kind of mess you got into. And I don't care if Brother Larry Key goes within the inner cell of the innermost part of the prison, and he goes down death row. And Brother Larry will send me a text just every now and again. And Miss Jan, he'll say, I'm going on to death row. He said, you better pray for me, preacher. And you say, well, what's the importance of that? Brother Larry knows that those men that are on that row, on that corridor, Brother Keepy, those men are condemned to die. But is that not what every preacher's doing every time that he gets in the pulpit? Because there's people that's in the pews. Is that not, Brother Chris, that we're standing and we're going down the corridor of death row? You say, why do you say that, preacher? Because every one of us that are not saved are still yet lost. And every man that's lost, Brother Derek, has a death sentence to pass upon him. According to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse number 23, he's walking in a death sentence. He's a dead man walking. But in this passage of scripture, I want you to see, Brother Troy, you might be steeped in sin. You might be mired in the mud of sin. Brother Steve, he will clean you up. He could clean the dirty. And as he cleans the dirt off of us, it is his will to do that, Brother Derek, because the leper says, Lord, if you would, you can make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. So there's no question about whether or not the Lord wants to clean you up. It is his will that you be clean from your leprosy. It is his will that you be made whole from the sin that you get in. He said, I will be thou clean. How many of us in here tonight have been clean and have been cleansed from the sin and the mess and the mire that you've been in? If you are, you ought to say amen right now. If you've been cleansed, you should say amen, preacher. I know firsthand that he'll clean the dirty because I was one of them that was filthy as filthy can get. Brother Kenny the other day in our Sunday school class started talking about how dirty he was. And I'm thinking, hey, none of them Anderson boys dirty. I love every one of you. And I think that you walk circumspectly. I think you walk upright of heart. But you know what? Brother Tim, I just met you a few years ago. But I promise you this, you ain't as clean as I thought you were. You said you're putting that off on Tim because he's made of the same stuff I am. Brother Derek, I've heard you preach. You're like a bull in a china shop, son. That stuff's pinned up inside of you, but I guarantee you, you're not as holy as I think you are. Neither are you, Brother Archie. Spurgeon made the statement, to think not ill of those that speak evil against you, for you're far worse than they said you were. That's the truth. Don't think bad about them. You're worse than they said. I don't care what they called you. I was with Cindy today, and we were looking at some plants over at Lowe's, and I saw a bush, and it said it was a scallywag. And I said, what in the world is that? It said it was a scallywag bush. And I'm like, well, I know some of them. And you know what, Brother Steve? I are one. I'm a scallywag. A scallywag. But he'll clean the dirty. He'll cleanse you. He looks right at that leper, and the leper had a question in his mind. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. They can clean me up. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. So we go right from verses 1 through 3 into verses 5 through 13. And you said, well, you said there's something here for every one of us. Watch. 5 through 13 says this, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came a certain centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Aren't you glad that he's willing to come to where you are? Aren't you glad that he's willing to do that? But I want you to see the faith of this centurion. Because the Lord said, I'm not seeing this great of faith, but I'm glad that he's able to cover the distance to come to where I am, as low as you might be. What I was going to say about Brother Kenny made the statement that he wasn't just the low of the barrel. He wasn't at the bottom of the barrel. Brother Kenny made the statement that he was that sediment that settles down to the bottom of the barrel, and that's where he was at. He was on the bottom of that sediment that was on the bottom of the barrel. That's how low that he felt. Well, I'm telling you, God can clean him up. God can raise him up. And when I look at this passage of scripture, I'm telling you what, it does not matter where you're at. This centurion comes in and said, I got a servant back out yonder and he is deathly sick. Look what it says. The centurion answered him and said, oh Lord, he said, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow him, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not as in Israel. And I said unto you, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. Well, what did he say? He said, I'm coming to where you're at, but I'm not going to be there in person. What he's going to do, Brother Derek, he's going to do for that centurion the same thing that he did for us. Bless God, he's going to cover the distance, bless God, with just a word. He's going to cover it with a voice. He said, you go, and when you get there, guess what? What you've asked of me, it'll be done when you get there. And I'm glad, bless God, he can step across 2,000 years. He can cover the distance, Brother Graham. It does not matter what you got into. It doesn't matter if you're dirty. It does not matter if you're sick. This centurion David said, my servant needs touching because he's about to die. He's sick. And he said, Lord, if you just, the Lord said, I'll come to him. He said, Lord, you don't have to come. I just say the word. I'm glad, brother God, Troy, that he spoke peace into my heart. He just stepped across the ages. And he said, there's a 13-year-old boy on the pew of Center Baptist Church. And he's dying and going to hell. And bless God, I'm glad that he could cover that distance with just one great big step. And there he is, brother Chris. Aren't you glad that he covered the distance for you? He come to where you were at. You said, well, how did he come? He didn't come in person. He didn't go for this servant in person, did he? Read your scripture. Did he go in person? He said, come on, let's saddle up the horses. Let's go. Let's get on a camel. Let's get on an oxen. Jump in the wagon. Hook up the chariots. We're going down to the centurion's house to find his servant. No, he didn't. Neither did he come to us in a bodily form. But Brother Derek, the same miracle that was performed in that centurion was performed in us. My goodness, what a Savior we've got. Like I said, this is all about Jesus. He just had to speak the word. Looking for verses number 14 and 15. 14 and 15, right where I stopped reading. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, laid and sick with a fever. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So 14 and 15, what did he do? He healed Peter's mother-in-law. What's that? That's the same thing you did for Miss Ginger. That's the same thing he's done for others. Same thing we did for you, Miss Jan, and you, Miss Sterling. Anybody here ever had cancer in any shape, form, or fashion? Raise your hand. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge the power of God over your cancer. You look at the hands going up. How many of you here know somebody that's had cancer and you've watched God perform a miracle in their life? Bless God, I want you to know right now, he can cure your disease. Can he not, Brother Tim? Can he not go across the ages of time and cover the distance? And when he gets there, can he not clean the dirty? Can he also not cure the disease? Can he not do something? If I didn't believe that, Tim Anderson, I'd quit preaching and I'd tell you to go wallow around in your self-pity. Wallow around, I have no empathy for you. I have no sympathy for you. You just lay in it. We ain't got a God that's able to touch you. You might as well just go ahead and just kiss it goodbye. It's over. It's over. It's over. But no, bless God, when you went in there and saw Dr. Grody, you said, Brother Grody, I want you to know something right quick. You said, you've got the wrong man. And bless God, I believe that. The cancer was touched and it was healed. But if God can't cure diseases, then why are we still anointing people with oil? Miss Wanda, when you weren't supposed to make it, you weren't supposed to walk, you weren't supposed to have a child, abort that child, because that child ain't going to be worth a hoot. It ain't going to be right. And it ain't going to be healthy, and you ain't going to make it. Bless God. Don't tell me God can't cure diseases. Or, bless God, he wouldn't have touched you, because I know that he did. Bless God, I seen Brother Danny. I laid down around in the hospital, and they wasn't going to let but just a couple of us back there. And I remember being Brother Clayton, and the deacons were praying in the hallway with Brother Woody and Brother Donnie and Brother Earl, all them out there in that big old circle. And we synchronized our watches. You said y'all were a bunch of crazy men to synchronize your watches. No, Brother Kippy, I said, when we get back there, I want us to all be praying the same prayer at the same time. And that's that Brother Danny going to be touched. And bless God, Brother Steve, we started praying the same as we have for others. And bless God, Brother Danny, I still believe God answers prayers, and he will cure the dirty. He will cure the disease. He will cleanse the dirty, and he'll cover the distance to do it for you tonight. I promise you that he will. He'll do that. You say, well, he ain't never done nothing for me. You're sitting here, aren't you? Hello? You're sitting here. You got breath in your body. You got blood coursing through your veins. Everybody's clothed, seated right here at the feet of Jesus. Most of us are in the right mind. That's what the scriptures said. There he was, Brother Chris, clothed, seated at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Most of us are right there tonight. We're right at the very feet of Jesus, clothed, got food to eat. Did anybody here miss a meal today? Anybody missed? I'm not asking you to give up your fast if you're fasting, but has anybody missed a meal? If you have, get with me. If you've not had a thing to eat today, get with me, because the church has failed you. Okay, we've all eaten. So here we are, clothed, seated at the feet of Jesus, in a right mind, got clothes to wear, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food to eat, pantry full. Tell me God ain't good. Let's go right beyond 14 and 15. We'll be done here in just a few minutes.
18 through 22 of the same passage of Scripture tells us these words. Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave the commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. We'll stop right there. And I want to say this. He's still calling disciples. If he's not calling disciples, Brother Chris, then why did you announce your call to preach? If he's not still calling old soldiers to the cross, then Brother Troy, why are you about to take upon this great work that's a lot bigger than you? You probably weigh 135 pounds soaking wet. And bless God, this thing's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. Bless God, why would God use a 12-year-old king by the name of Josiah to arite a nation? If God couldn't use a 12-year-old king, then why did he call him? Why did he prop him up? And why did he do that? Bless God, I'm telling you right now, whenever he called those disciples, you look what he said. He said, you follow me. And you look at that scripture again at the latter part of verse number 22. He said, Jesus said to them, follow me. Bless God, he's still calling disciples. He's still calling people to a greater work, a work that's far greater than they are. And that's what he did for me. Whenever, it's been almost 17 years ago, Brother Grant, God come by my heart probably above 30 years ago and told me I was going to preach his word. I put that off and I put it off, or not quite 30 years ago, but it's about 25 years ago. And I was about 16, 17 years old. I told my mama, I said, Mama, I believe God wants me to preach. And I didn't know what it was. And Mama said, Mark, that if God wants you to preach, you're going to preach. And ain't nothing you can do about it. And he said, well, and she said, if you've got something, God's got something else for you to do, then you'll do that and you won't preach. Brother Derek, just like a spigot turned off, the call of God on my life, it left me just like I said, like a spigot being turned off. I wish to God, and looking back, in a sense, Miss Melissa, I wish at 16 I'd have accepted that call, but things would have been different. They wouldn't be like they are now. But God let me grow up. He let me mature in the faith, Brother BJ, and he let me mature, and it was way later. But then about 5 years before I announced my call, God was working in my heart. And what are you getting to, preacher? I'm saying this, that God is still calling disciples. He's still calling people. You say, are you a disciple? You're calling Chris a disciple and Troy a disciple. What is a disciple? And I'll tell you, if God's still calling them, bless God, a disciple is nothing more than a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say he's still calling disciples. He's calling people into the work that's a lot bigger than they are. You got a tax collector, Brother Ryan. You got a tax collector going to go out and spread the gospel. How many tax collectors do you want telling you about anything other than get out of my house, get out of my business, and quit trying to tax everything I own? They tax the money you make. They tax the money you spend. They tax what you spend it on. And guess what? When you die and leave it to everybody, they tax it then as an inheritance tax. I'm telling you, the tax man cometh and you can't do nothing about it. But that's who God chose when he said, I'm going to go get a tax man. And then he called the fisherman. He said, you come and follow me. And Brother Troy, a fisherman. I'm talking about throwing out a line or casting out a net and reeling in the harvest. Why did he call them? I'll tell you why. Because he said, hey, you might be fishing for fish, but here on you're going to be fishers of men. He had a purpose for everything that he did. And I'm glad that he's still calling disciples. Are y'all all right? Some of you looking at me like I fell off of a nut truck. I'm serious. God still does these things. And it's all in this scripture. Have I preached anything that's not in the book yet? It's there. Going into our scripture where we started, 23 through 27, and the ship was entered. Then when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him? Well, the manner of man that he is, I've just told you that he cleans the dirty. He cures the diseased. He calls the disciples. He does all the things that I have just given to you. But here's what he does in the midst of all that. After he's cleaned you and he called you and set you apart, I'm going to tell you something, Troy. Come here. It's all going to play. I didn't write all this down. This young preacher right here has just been called to become the new pastor up at Harmony Baptist Church. He's agreed to take it on an interim basis just to see how God's going to work. But I want you to know, before this crowd and this mixed multitude, there's going to be some storms.
Right.
You can go ahead and be seated. But I want you to see this. Brother Steve, he can calm the deepest problems. He can calm the deepest storms. And how does he do it? Sometimes he does it through her. Sometimes he'll do it through your wife. Sometimes he'll do it through Brother Clayton. Brother Clayton say, calm down, preacher. Y'all wouldn't believe the time Brother Clayton say, just calm down, preacher. There have been times that Brother Clayton would say, don't make me stripe your legs, preacher. But see, the Bible knows, he knows the Bible, rebuke not an elder and touch not thine anointing, do thy servant no harm. He knows that scripture, but usually whenever he says, don't make me stripe your legs, usually he's doing it in private or in jest, just to. But so many times he said, just calm down, preacher. So many times she would say, it's not as bad as you think. And I'm like, leave me alone. Leave me and myself pity. I like this pity party of one that I'm having. And she'll say, it's really not that bad. I said, yeah, it is. You don't know how bad it is. And she'll say, it's really not as bad as you think it is. And I'll try my best to convince her it's worse than it's ever been. And she'll say, it's really not. So what's she doing? She's letting the grace of God that fills her heart as my helpmeet. Which we got an anniversary tomorrow. About forgot that. 32 years. But so many times God will use the comfort of a wife. It'll use the encouragement of a family member, of a church member, of a deacon, of another preacher, of a message, of a gospel song. It'll be something that speaks to my heart, and it seemingly just brings calm. It could be the verse of scripture that I've not thought of in a long time, and all of a sudden here it comes. It just speaks peace to my heart, and it calms that deepest of problem that I'm in. Troy, you're going to have deep problems. You're going to have some deep storms. But I want you to know you got a great big God. And that great big God can step out on a sea of nothing or a sea of everything and say, peace, be still. And you know what? That storm that's about to swallow you up, that's about to take you under, has to lay down at his feet. That's the God we're serving. How many of us in here have ever been in that type of a storm? I'm talking about, brother, this one's bigger than me. And it just seemingly is about to take you under, Brother Chris. And the Lord just steps out and says, I got this. Peace be still. And Brother BJ, that wave just has to lay right at his feet, and it's not as bad as it once was. And then you have to say, Clayton was right. Miss Cindy was right. Little brother was right. And that's the beauty of this thing. You said, is there any more in there? I preached a whole lot out of there so far, but I want to get the latter part of this, and we're going to close here in just a minute. I say this, I didn't save it for last. It's last in the scriptures. This book's fitly framed together, and it's last in its place because of a reason. We'll just read the scriptures from verses number 28 through 34. And when he was come to the other side of the country, of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And then there was a good way, when they were a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer to go into the swine of the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And then when they were come, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when he saw them, and they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. You said, what's that all about, preacher? I put all that back to say this. It's in the last part of the scripture. I didn't make it. I didn't rearrange it. I didn't take it out of context. It's there by its own volition, by the way God ordained it and put it in there. Just listen, hear me out just a minute. Brother Troy, unless you've been cleansed, we started out with a dirty leper, did we not? Did we not start out with a picture of a sinner? Bless God, except that you get that fixed, Brother Kip, he's not going to calm your storm. If
you don't get that fixed, he's not going to call you to be a disciple. If you don't get that fixed, he's not going to hear your prayer to cure your disease. If he does not get that, if you do not get that part fixed, Brother Steve, the rest of it is a moot point to you, because you're going to have to get to this part. And bless God, you're going to have to get there, because none of the other stuff matters, brother. He can cast out your demons. He can cast out your devils. He can cast out that besets you. He can take you, Brother Korea. All that other stuff, it's a promise in the Word of God. But except God cast out the devils. And you said you believe people are demon possessed in this day and time. You better believe they're demon possessed. There's people, Brother Troy, that are filled with the devil. The man that was legion, he said to call me legion, for we are many. He had many demons that tortured him and tormented him. The Bible said he'd run among the tombs cutting himself. Brother Steve, what was that cutting of himself? It was the same thing, Brother Kim. You'll remember whenever we was up at Mountain Valley, and I was coming out the back door of the church one night on a Wednesday night in Mountain Valley in McGrady, North Carolina. Who would have ever thought that? But that was a young girl along about the age of 14 years old. And Brother Greg, she come in, and her arms were bloody from her wrist up to about right here. And she had took something. It looked like a broken shard of glass. It could have been a broken bottle. It could have been a knife. But BJ, she had slashed herself all to pieces. And when somebody would do that, it's the same reason that Legion would do that. There's a demon inside of her. There's a demon inside of him. And Ryan, that cutting of the flesh is nothing more than to cause an outside wound or an outside hurt to overcome some kind of an inward devil, inward hurt, inward pain. Brother Kippy, that's terrible. And she's cutting her flesh, trying her best to eliminate that inward hurt. She'd rather her flesh hurt than have a torment of soul, to be broken hearted, or to have whatever she's filled with to be demon filled. And brother, that thing was tearing her. And she come in and we prayed with her. You said, whatever become of her? That's another story in and of itself. And I won't get into that tonight. But what I'm saying is this. Brother BJ, don't tell me that girl didn't have something living inside of her that she could carve her skin up and just cut herself to where she would come bloody into a church house. But you know what? She knew where to go. She knew where to go. Did these men, that the Bible said two, did they not know who to call on? What? Look, he said he went his way. They called out, said, Jesus! Look what it says. It's in the scripture. Thou son of God, Jesus! Look what it says in verse number 29. Thou son of God, are you come here to torment us? He said, wait a minute, get rid of these demons. You see the herd of swine? See those pigs over there? Put these demons that possess us in those pigs and get rid of these things once and for all. Those pigs ran violently down into the sea and choked themselves. Why would they go to the sea? Troy, where does the Bible say that the Lord puts our sins, once they're forgiven, he puts them in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered against us anymore. That's where he put them. That's the scriptures. They run violently down into the sea. Why were they running violently down into the sea, Ryan? Because that torments me and that torments you, it doesn't leave easy. Brother Jerry, they don't leave easy. That's bothering you, that troubles you, that tears you, that torments you, it doesn't leave easy. Brother Troy, it takes some prayer. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a message just a little while back. Won't use names, won't use faces, won't use anything to where you would ever know who did it. But it's one of our regulars here. Don't let your mind wander, because it could be one sitting beside you tonight. It could be you. He said, Pastor, I have a drug addiction problem. He said, it's awful. And I said, I'll be praying for you. And I've been praying for that person. But Brother Derek, that thing's bigger than they are. It's not going to leave on its own. It won't leave on its own. And you said, are these people buying drugs on the street, getting heroin off this or that? Listen to me. I have got in my house pills that have been prescribed to me. Many of y'all know just a few weeks ago I had a surgery. They gave me a bottle of 30 pills. Those 30 pills, there's 28 of them still in the bottle. I took two of them the day I got home. The rest of them are still there. But there are people that get stuff that's prescribed by their doctor. And those things have such an effect that the devil will use that as a tool. And those things, those devils do not leave easy. But I want you to know tonight, just as I preached on everything that I've, if y'all got everything I've just done, he's the one that can cast out those devils. Right.
I just saw it in here, and he's no respecter of person. According to the book of Romans, he's no respecter of person. He's done it for others. He'll do it for you. So Miss Macy comes back to the piano tonight. Take the song and take it from the bridge that if you feel like running, why don't you run to the man that I just preached about? How about running to him? How about running to him? You said, preacher, but I'm so dirty. Brother Chris, could he not fix that? I just read about it. You said, preacher, I've got sickness. I've got diseases. What I've got is incurable. That's what they always say, Miss Wanda. What you got, can't do nothing with that. Here you are, how many years later? 40? 40, 43 years later? Don't tell me God can't. Because the Bible says God can. Brother Danny, what's it been, 5 years? Seven? Has it been that long? Don't tell me God can't. When I look at you, I know God can. I see love and I see grace and I see mercy. I see forgiveness. I see stuff all over y'all's face. I look at you, Miss Melissa, grandmother. Whenever your sweet daughter had a miscarriage, were y'all not just devastated? Honestly, were you not just so distraught? But when you look into that, when you look into that little baby, do you not know that God can? I remember Jerry and Martha. Are they here, Brother Jerry? I think of y'all quite often about how Miss Kelly was just so distraught. She had lost a child. That's got to be devastating. And God said, how about twin boys? Is that a true story? Do you not have little beautiful twin boys? Don't tell me God can't, because he can. You lost a child. I can't imagine that, Brother Jody. But look, you got two precious children. Amen. They sung in the choir Sunday. Sang a special. Jesse's getting married. Hallelujah. Don't tell me God can't, because God can. Amen. And every one of you, Miss Ginger, honey, you got cancer. Ginger says, I got this disease. Well, let me tell you, God can. Amen. Honey, because look at you. You're sitting here. Amen. Hair all spiked up on top. I'm telling you, honey, God can. Amen. Brother Grant, how many times has the doctor told you this ain't going to work, that ain't going to work? And over and over and over, you hear these sad, somber stories. But Brother Steve, God can. Brother Steve told us in a Sunday school class the week before last that for one solid year he prayed a prayer of deliverance. He prayed a prayer, and it might have took him a year, but bless God, God heard your prayer. And Brother Steve got in front of our Sunday school class and said, God answered my prayer. Now, what would happen, Brother Steve, if you said, okay, God, you're limited. After a week, I'm just going to throw the towel in. God, you can't. I'm done with you, God. No, you kept earnest in your prayer. And a year later, God said, how about this, Mr. Mahaffey? And then God can. And he did. Miss Macy, as you start to play and sing, if anybody here tonight has got any question about whether or not God can, get up here in the altar and get that thing settled once and for all.